You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Rebecca Husted about preventing barn fires and how veterinarians can help their clients recognize risk. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Rebecca Jimenez Husted published the first textbook on technical large animal emergency rescue with Tomas and Kimberly May through Wiley Blackwell in 2008. She is a decorated combat veteran, retired signal officer, U.S. Army, holds a bachelor's in biology from Wofford College and a Ph.D. in animal physiology from Clemson University. She provides training in technical large animal emergency rescue. She teaches these techniques across the U.S. and internationally. She has published numerous critiques, techniques, and journal articles on a variety of technical subjects in large animal disaster and emergency rescue, horse barn fires, and heavy rescue of large animals. She contributes to equine welfare committees and other organizations defining technical competencies for large animal rescue around the world. Welcome, Dr. Husted. I'm really excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
You know, you are so passionate about barn fire prevention, and I watched one of your amazing webinars on a video, and it taught me so much about the subject, and I just thought, wow, there is so much to learn. How can equine veterinarians help their clients prevent barn fires?
I think most of what we try to get people to understand is when you as a veterinarian walk into a barn or a facility where you have animals, to look at things a little bit different. Think about it not as a veterinarian or as a horse person, but think about it how a firefighter might think about it. How am I going to get out of this facility? How would the animals get out of this facility? What would I do if there was a small fire? Is there a fire extinguisher that's immediately available, well-marked, that I can reach out, grab, and use? Is there ways to get out of the building that are really easy to use? When you start thinking about it from that perspective, it's no different than what we did when we were kids in school. We practiced how to get out of the building. We never do that in a barn, but every single time you walk into someone else's barn, you are really at risk of possibly being exposed to something like that. So if you think about it different and look around with those new eyes, you might start to realize, I could probably help my client by just saying, hey, where's the fire extinguisher?
Right. Absolutely. Fires get out of control very, very fast. That's one of the things, watching those videos and hearing those facts. It is so amazing. Can you share with us how a fire behaves and how much time you actually have to react?
So NFPA, which is the National Fire Protection Association, has done a lot of research into agricultural fires, and that might be horse barn fires, hay barn fires, tractor sheds, but they all have the same build. Most of them are lots of wood. There's hay and shavings and straw and combustibles in all those kinds of facilities. And most people also have tractors or equipment or something with gasoline or diesel in it. So essentially, they all burn very similarly. And the thing is, they're not limited for air. So they're big open spaces. They've got plenty of oxygen. And what we're trying to do is trying to prevent that initial spark, because NFPA stats show you have somewhere between 3 to 5 minutes in that facility once a fire starts, and there's nothing survivable in there anymore. People always worry about the flames. It's not the flames, it's the smoke. And you guys know what smoke does to lungs. And thus, so many sad stories of veterinarians that get called to these kinds of things. They get there and they got two or three of the animals out. The others we never heard from again, and obviously expired in the facility. But then understanding that you don't have to see something on the outside. It's what's on the inside. How are we going to deal with that injury to the lung on the inside just from all that toxic smoke and heat?
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
When I was a very new veterinarian at my very first, month on the job, one morning I was called to a barn fire, and I was, as you might imagine, kind of panicking because I had never dealt with fire and horses before. But sadly, when I got there, all of the horses had died from smoke inhalation. The owner said she had, seen the smoke, run down to the barn, opened one of the Dutch doors to the outside of the barn, and everything was shut up tight. And as she did so, it burst into flame, but all of the horses were down and dead.
They were dead.
And then it burned to the ground once it had that ventilation when she opened the door. But yeah, so incredibly sad.
That is a story that sadly gets repeated time and time again. Mm-hmm. And that really comes down to, if we understand, so many people I talk to say, call the fire department, and you should call the fire department. But when they understand that most of the fire departments that are in rural areas have response times from 7 to 12 minutes to get there, much less to set up to be able to fight the fire, rescue the animals out of the facility, they start to realize that actually, if we're going to save anything, they have to have a plan. They have to have a run-out plan. They need to have, the most important part is, if you really want to get a horse out of a barn that's affected by fire, is stall doors to the outside wall. In other words, you don't have to go into the interior aisle. You can reach them from the outside door and put a halter on them, lead them away, or put them in a paddock or put them in a pasture to be able to get them away from the toxic smoke and the flames. And sadly, a lot of horse people don't get those secondary doors because it's expensive. It adds to the expense. It's how often do we use that? If people live where there's snow and ice and mud, wait, that's everybody. what are we going to do when the snow and the ice and the mud gets behind the door, and it's a maintenance issue and all those things? And I understand that. But if you have a door to the outside wall, you have the chance to get some of them out. And sadly, once there's smoke inside the barn, some even people have died trying to go back in and get animals. They don't realize how dangerous that toxic smoke is.
And it is. What are some of the most common causes of barn fires? I mean, one of the things that I see, are fans, or when I was still in the East, a lot of fans with a lot of extension cords and lots of cobwebs on the fans. But what are the things that you see? What are the most common causes?
You're all over it. It all is electrical causes are the most common things. And part of that is, the barn is 20 years old. The barn is 30 years old. Maybe it's brand new. And you told the electrician, hey, I need a barn with an electrical service for a barn. Well, the average electrician says, a barn, they need a few lights. They're going to have a fan or two. Maybe they have, the electric clippers. They don't expect horse people to have a sauna. They don't expect them to have all the things that we have. We have dryers and washers and dishwashers and all the other appliances and those kind of things in our barns now. That's normal. And if the electrical service is not set up for that, you're always burning out the circuits. You're always having problems, something fried in the system. That's telling you, hello, we need a have better electrical service for to be able to support the need that I'm trying to do with my barn. And the second thing, of course, is separating the, quote, living space, the whatever it is, the tack room, wherever you have all those appliances needs to be separated from where the horses are. And what that means is you have roll-up doors that are fire rated. You have walls that are fire rated around that area so that if the fire starts there, you can realize there's a fire because you have some sensor, some smoke detector, some heat detector, some rate of rise thermal detector that isn't just a local alarm. It has to go to your phone. It needs to be hardwired to the fire department. So many of these fires, Amy, start at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Something burns out and there's smoke and flame, and people realize it an hour later. And the barn is already on the flames have exteriorized. The things are dead. Yeah. We've got to catch it early. And the way we do that is, yes, it's difficult to have smoke detectors in the barn portion with the horses. I understand that. There are things that you can do. They do exist, but they're not $14.99 at Walmart. And it has to be in the area where the threat exists, where the electrical exists. And, of course, where people are doing things like using a dryer. Dryers are notorious, even in homes, for starting fires.
Yeah, absolutely. At Rhinebeck Equine, we had the hardwired, you know, smoke and heat detectors. And more than once, we would have an intern making popcorn in the apartment and the whole fire department would show up. But boy, it does, you know, they showed up quickly. And it was a very, very loud alarm. And I'm glad that we had it and have it still. What do you consider are the top three things that folks should look for when they look around their barn and want to make it safer, or things they could add or things they could do?
So it all comes down to having a organized response. And the way you do that is you're able to detect whatever threat. So in this case, that would be smoke and or flame, which means in the areas where you have the electrical, you have some kind of sensor. Normally I tell people, yes, you can get them at Walmart, but I would get somebody, to come down and give you a quote on a more, commercial level, even for people that have a private facility, commercial sensors are just better quality and they,
like hardwired?
Yes, I do like hardwired because it doesn't matter if you're in Aruba. You know, it's still going to go to the fire department. The fire department is going to respond. And that's the disconnect that a lot of people don't know. Then something to do for suppression. So that would be a fire extinguisher and or some hoses that are permanently, you know, it takes you so long. You don't think it takes you long, but to hook up a hose and do all those things. Now, I know in the winter, that's a problem, but, you know, under normal considerations, how can we do that to be able to have hoses that are available to be able to use? Because if we can put that fire out in those first 30 seconds, we have a chance to also get animals out of the facility, people out of the facility. It's those first 30 seconds that are really crucial. And
are sprinkler systems a reasonable thing if you had won the lottery?
If you won the lottery, so the challenge with sprinkler systems is they have to be that there are air supported systems where, let's say, Rhinebeck, New York, and it's 10 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. You know, you have to deal with the water in the system. So it has an air assisted system. But of course, that costs money because you've got to have an air pump. You might have leaks once in a while. You have to do the maintenance once a month. So that does, you know, the system is expensive, et cetera. However, there's many people who have barns that are already, quote, enclosed, sections of the barn that are enclosed. That tends to be the, quote, living area where the apartments are, where the tap room, where the get-together and socialize facilities are. Those are areas that if you keep those above freezing, it doesn't have to be warm. It just needs to be above freezing. Those are areas that you can use a sprinkler system. And that's usually where the threat is. The fires usually do not start where the horses are. They often start in the living areas or the areas where we have electrical. Now, if you're talking about cheap box fans, that's the game is off. There is a lot of Lasco fans many years ago sent out a thing to thehorse.com and said, please don't buy our fans because we know that they start fires.
And I thank God they did that.
I know. It's crazy. So then, and they're right because they're cheap fans and they're open housing. And so all the little dust and the fines and the cobwebs and those kind of things get in those cheap fans, and that's how they start fires. But there are fans that you can purchase. So they're called 507 compliant with the UL, and they have a closed housing. And it doesn't have anything to do with the size of the fan. It has to do with, does it have a closed housing on the backside of the fan so that it can't suck that stuff in? They tend to be better engineering. They also tend to be more expensive. You're talking about $100 or $150 instead of $12 at Walmart. So, you know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. And what many people have done when they realized this was they all got together with the boarders in the barn and said, hey, we're going to make a bulk purchase. Everybody gets a fan. We're going to get the better quality fans. We're going to stop using extension cords and these kinds of things because we understand that that really is where the threat comes from.
So do they put basically an outlet at each stall for the fan?
Yes, ma'am. And that, again, is, you know, it's cheap insurance. People, you know, I tell people, they say, well, that's really expensive. And I go, well, call somebody, an electrician, and get a quote. How much does it cost? Okay, it's going to cost you $2,000 to rewire those sections of your barn. Well, how much would it cost to rebuild your barn? And, you know, people go, what do you mean? And I go, well, and you also ought to check your insurance, because over time, we all know what happens. You get the letter from the insurance company and it says, we've changed some of your, you know, considerations for your insurance. And nobody ever reads that stuff. And nobody is a lawyer. So we don't read it. And over time, what happens is what you think the insurance is going to pay for your barn when it gets destroyed is very different from what you actually get. And I have heard too many stories of people who lost a barn to fire or a tornado or whatever, and they thought they were going to get the, you know, ability to rebuild it, the money towards that. And it came in 10%, pennies on the dollar of what they thought they were going to get from that insurance. So that reminds all of us to take a look at that too.
Wow. Yeah, pennies on the dollar.
But I'm going to tell people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if you built it 20 years ago and it cost you $100,000, how much would that cost now to rebuild?
Oh my goodness, might be a million. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, five times as much at least. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today? And can you tell our listeners where they can learn more?
They can learn more by looking up my last name, H-U-S-T-E-D, and Barnfire. You will find it. There are AAP presentations, there are publications, and there are some free webinars about barnfire safety. I've got them all over YouTube, and I'll send you some of the links to those ones that I also suggest. But to me, the biggest thing that all of us can do is take a really hard look around our facilities and think about it. With how would a firefighter do that? And you know, the easiest way to do that is to call your local fire department, have them come to your facility. It costs you nothing. Ask them to do a pre-plan. We do it for every single commercial structure in our jurisdictions, but we don't do ag. Most of the time, these facilities fall into the ag jurisdiction. If you ask for help, they're not going to send you a ticket or a tax. They're not going to, you know, say bad things about you. They want to help. I'm a firefighter too, and I do these things in my community. Let me tell you, I would much rather come ahead and say, hey, get some fire extinguishers, try these things, look up these things, call this guy, then hold your hand while we're watching it burn to the ground. We do not want to have to worry about that. We want to be able to be proactive and admit it could happen and get the information from our local. Guess what? While they're there, they're also going to look around and they're going to figure out how they get their fire truck in the gate. They're going to, you know, maybe you've got a fancy gate. They're going to realize, hey, you know, you need to upgrade your reflective sign at the road so we can find you easier in the dark, even for a medical emergency if you had a problem. Those kinds of things and building that relationship with your local fire department, we don't bite. Just reach out to your local fire department and get that information. Say, hey, I need some help. I need a pre-plan, and use their expertise.
That makes so much sense. And like, how many farms have a gate code? Wouldn't you kind of like the firefighters to have the gate code?
The firefighters will get in, but your gate.
Yes, they will. They may drive through your gate. Yeah.
But at the very least, they're going to get out and cut the locks or cut the system and break in. That's, we actually did classes on that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this critical information, Dr. Hested. It's so important. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us for the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change, and help your barn owners make sure that their barns are safe.